Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Happy Friday and welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. At her Facebook page, Saray Kumalo writes, I am an African, an ordinary person who dares to dream and reach for extraordinary heights. Saray recently reached extraordinary heights. She became the first Black African woman to climb Mount Everest, the world's highest mountain. My VOA colleague Gwen Uten joins us now with details of Saray's extraordinary achievement. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Okay, here's some perspective. About 5,000 climbers have ascended Mount Everest since it was first scaled over six decades ago. Of those, around 550 have been women. And last week, Zambian-born South African Saray Kumalo became the first Black African to stand at the top of the world's highest mountain, and she's urging fellow Africans to follow in her snow-covered footsteps.
I feel like saying it's damn about time, you know, that we also got a seat at the table. The mountain was first summited in 1953. What have we been waiting for? And I'm hoping that young climbers come after me and just make it the norm.
The 47-year-old mother of two conquered Everest in her fourth attempt to reach the summit. Frostbite, an avalanche, and a deadly earthquake thwarted earlier expeditions, which she says makes her latest achievement that much sweeter.
I've tried three times before and not been able to be given the opportunity. So what made it special is that I took everything that I learned from all the previous attempts and learned from other people that have come before me to come and do this. And also, really, I had a lot of group of support system behind at home and locally to make it happen. So that made it special for me.
Over the years, hundreds of mountaineers attempting to reach the summit or descend from it have died. Climbers not only contend with natural disasters and health risks, but news of deaths on Everest due to overcrowding near its peak is now making headlines. Kumalo describes her climb as humbling and one that claimed the life of a fellow climber.
I think we lost a friend, you know, somebody that I only met for a short period of time, but somebody that was part of the team. I think losing him, you know, after a summit almost makes you feel a bit guilty about celebrating. It's almost a bittersweet. You know that it's a risk that the mountain comes with, but when it happens, it's sad nonetheless. That wasn't according to plan. The plan was we summit together, which we did. We come down together and we celebrate together.
Kumalo managed to make it safely back on level ground, and she's now more than halfway through a challenge she set for herself to become the first Black African woman to scale the highest peaks on seven continents. Add Mount Everest to the list of mountains she's already conquered, Mount Elbrus in Russia, Aconcagua in Argentina, and the tallest mountain in Africa, Mount Kilimanjaro. But Kumalo says Everest might be the most challenging of them all.
It takes longer than Kilimanjaro. it's a lot colder. There's a lot more logistics. There's technical parts of it. There's also where you track. It's got a bit of everything. And it just, look, it is the highest mountain in the world. You know, that says it all. I think all mountains demands respect, Everest more so than most. I think the fact that it's challenged me and not allowed me passage a few times, three times before, twice due to natural disaster and once because of the weather. I think that challenge made it more sweeter, I suppose.
Kamala says her goal in climbing the seven summits is to set an example for African girls to pursue their dreams and summit their everyday peaks on their journey through life. She has used her expeditions to raise money for children's education and libraries across Africa. And she's written a special message for children in her hero statement. It takes the will of an ordinary person to achieve extraordinary heights. African child, dream without limits, and let's do this. And I will give Saray Kamala the last word. That's all from me today and for the week. Stay inspired, everyone. Sunny, back over to you. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Gwen. You have a great weekend, too. An inspiring story indeed. Saray Kamala conquering Everest. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Turning to athletics, the quadruple Olympic champion Mo Farah makes his first competitive appearance since finishing fifth in last month's London Marathon when he races the London 10,000 on Monday. Farah is the headline act over 2 days of road racing for elite and mass runners who will pass by some of the British capital's most historic landmarks. The energetic Andy Edwards has this preview of the action for us from London.
If the London Marathon didn't quite turn out as he would have hoped, Mo Farah has speedily turned his focus to the future, having announced that he will race the Chicago Marathon this October in defence of the title won a year ago. That performance, when he broke the European marathon record with 2 hours, 5 minutes, 11 seconds, suggested he could be a championship contender at the distance, especially with the Tokyo Olympic marathon next year. But the London Marathon, dominated by Kenya's world record holder Eliud Kipchoge, showed that Farah, like everyone else in the marathon world, is well short of challenging the master, at least for the present. Now it is back to basics as Mo Farah attempts to win the London 10,000 for the sixth time. If he can break his own course record of 27 minutes 44, that will be a morale boost as he begins training for Chicago and consigning fifth place in London to the history books, as he reflected in the mix zone a month ago.
Bit disappointed with today's result. Training's gone well, everything's gone well, but it's one of these things you just have to take it. A bad day in the office. In myself, I'm disappointed and I believe that I can do better, but it was just, you know, that's what it was. There's no excuse.
Mo Farah may well prefer being back in the groove of marathon build-up since he's been in the headlines recently in a duel of words with Haile Gebrselassie. This followed Farah's complaints about treatment following a theft while staying at Haile's hotel, a regular training base for the Briton in Ethiopia. It's been all quiet on that front recently, and one of the surprises about the whole affair is how the management teams of two great athletes allowed it to become so public. A glance at the lineup for the London 10,000 shows that Farah is an even stronger favourite than in previous years. There are no big or relatively big East African rivals to challenge him. But beyond Chicago in October, Mo Farah has the prospect of the Olympic marathon in Tokyo next year, provided he doesn't decide to return to the track, a possibility he floats from time to time. After the London Marathon, he was adamant it was all about the Olympic Marathon, though he acknowledged that Eliud Kipchoge was still going to be the number one.
Yes, no, definitely. I just have to wait till Eliud retires and then I can make a next move. But congratulations on him. And for me, yeah, it's not finished.
Mo Farah has decided against running the World Championships in Doha in late September, but other top names will be using the Westminster Mile, held the day before the London 10,000, as an early building block in their preparations. They include the European 1500 metres champion Laura Muir. The Briton has also won a world indoor silver at the distance and shown that she can compete against anyone, and that includes the best Africa can offer. Whether elite or mass runners, those in the London 10,000 will be racing on a course which takes in many of the picture postcard views of London, including Trafalgar Square, the Houses of Parliament, and Westminster Abbey. But the elite won't have time or breath for sightseeing. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Andy Edwards in London.
Thanks, Andy. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In pro boxing, world heavyweight champion Anthony Joshua will put four of his titles on the line June 1st when he fights Mexican-American Andy Ruiz at Madison Square Garden in New York City. This will be Joshua's first prize fight here in the USA. And among those looking forward to being ringside is our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moueta.
Oh, son, you know, I'm excited about being in New York City, bro. It's sold out, man. We sold out and we're going in. And thanks to you, Sonny, and VOA, man, we're ringside, bro. 17,000 fans coming from the UK. It's sold out. It's Madison Square Garden. It is New York. This is an American showcase. Homeboy better shine, man, because it is sold out and nobody's going there to see a 12th round hold me, hug me, fight. They want to see a knockout like they just saw with Deontay. I mean, referee counting the guy out. That's what we're going there to see. We're not going there for 12th round unanimous decision. Everybody's huffing and puffing after 12th round. No, the city's ready. Everybody's looking forward to this fight. The arena is sold out. Thousands of fans coming in from the UK. Rooms are booked. Airfares are all paid. Look, this card has been pulling in crowds in the UK, Wembley Stadium, O2 Arena. Bringing it to the US on live TV, yeah, we have to be there to represent Africa. For our listeners in Africa, Sunny Side of Sports listeners in Africa, to see him do it and then get to hear about it after the fight is over. I'm excited, son, as you can tell. I am really excited.
Namdi, I understand a Cameroonian fighter also excited to be on the undercard of AJ Ruiz.
French Cameroonian former world champion Hassan Ndam is taking on Callum Smith, WBA super middleweight champion. Callum Smith is 25-0 with 18 knockouts. Hassan Ndam has never fought as a super middleweight. He was two-time middleweight champion of the world. Remember, he went to Tokyo, Japan, where he fought Ryota Murata. He beat him the first time, and he lost in a rematch. And these two guys were one-time sparring partners. So what are his chances? Well, again, it's a showcase fight for the WBA super middleweight champion, Callum Smith. An upset will be good, but, you know, Hassan Ndam is in deep. Very, very tough fight.
Ghana's Richard Comey will put his IBF lightweight title on the line June 28th. VOA. Tell our VOA boxing fans about that.
Sonny, this will be Comey's first title defense, and it's also a voluntary defense before the unification fight with Vasyl Lomachenko. He's going to take on Ray Beltran, a Mexican lightweight who is a dangerous slugger he comes to fight. But remember, Paulus Moses from Namibia fought Ray Beltran, and we saw this fight. Paulus Moses was robbed, and Beltran got the belt. Maybe this is a revenge for Africa. A very good fight for Richard Comey. Expect Richard Comey to do a number on Ray Beltran June 28th at the Pachanga Casino right here in California. I will be ringside for this fight. My first time to be there to see homeboy from Accra, Ghana.
What can you tell us about that Pachanga Resort Casino, Namdi?
Oh, it's a beautiful venue for boxing. I mean, 2.5 hours from Los Angeles. It's right in there with the Latino cities. An hour from San Diego, Oceanside. It's a beautiful place to go and see a fight. And it's happening on a Friday night, Sonny. And it will be live on ESPN, which means eyeballs around the globe. Lots of fight fans on a Friday night would watch an African warrior perform on live TV to defend his title. You can't go wrong with that one, Sonny.
Namdi, the African warrior Richard Comey, originally scheduled to fight Lomachenko, then Comey suffered a hand injury. What's the likelihood of a Comey-Lomachenko matchup down the road?
It's a big fight. You don't rush big fights. Lomachenko is going to the UK to take on Luke Campbell for the WBC title, which was vacant. Remember, Mickey Garcia was the champion and he gave it up when he lost to Errol Spence. So Lomachenko beating Campbell in the UK, that gets big. call me doing this thing at Pachanga Casino here in Southern California. Then we can look at maybe September or spring 2020. They can't rush that fight. Like to see Richard Comey after this first defense to do one more defense, and Lomachenko one more defense. Then the big money fight, whereby homeboy from Ghana will go home with close to more than $1.2 million, Sonny. So why rush into the fight with Lomachenko? Because right now, the pound-for-pound king in boxing is Vasyl Lomachenko from the Ukraine.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The Women's World Cup football tournament kicks off in 2 weeks in Paris. That's where France will host South Korea in the opening match on June 7th. Three African teams will compete in France: Nigeria, Cameroon, and South Africa. And the South African women have some financial incentive, as we hear now from Samson Omale. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings to you, Sonny. The South Africa women's national team players could earn the biggest payday of their careers at the FIFA World Cup in France and could walk away with almost $70,000 each. South Africa Football Association President Danny Jordan announced on Thursday that the Bayana Bayana players and their Bafana Bafana counterpart would for the first time earn the same amount when they participate in the FIFA Women's World Cup and in the African Cup of Nations, AFCON.
Bonus players when they go to a major event like the World Cup, like the African Cup of Nations, it's always a source of tension, debate, and huge challenge, and we thought it was important that as the team leaves tonight, that everything must be sorted out.
And to East Africa, where the Kenyan national football team, the Harambee Stars, will now play Democratic Republic of Congo in Madrid on June the 15th, replacing the earlier planned match between Kenya and Gambia in Paris on the same day that has since been shelved. Meanwhile, the national team coach Sebastian Migni says the door is not shut on any player for the African Cup of Nations, as he's still weighing his options ahead of the tournament in Egypt next month.
Also pragmatic. If I discover a good one, I can put him in my finalist. I'm not afraid about it. And after, for next week, we will reduce at 26 because we will travel with only 26 players.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson, and I hope you have a sporty weekend. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The Super Eagles of Nigeria are three-time Nations Cup champions, having lifted the trophy in 1980, 1994, and 2013. In Egypt, the Super Eagles are grouped with Guinea and Nations Cup debutants Burundi and Madagascar. Lekan Ige is a Nigerian football analyst. Iron Mike Mbonye asked him about the Nigerian team's chances at Egypt 2019.
Well, I think the Super Eagles are a good team. You could argue that we've been struggling in recent times to give the goalkeeping shirt to just one consistent person. At the World Cup and to our qualifiers, we had Francis Uzoh, Ikechukwu Ezenwa, and Nigerians, you know, have had to complain even when we give the opportunity to Daniel Akpeyi. But it means the Super Eagles technical crew must not tie down the number one shirt to somebody heading to the Nations Cup. Fortunately, all three of them have been part and parcel of Super Eagles in recent years. Francis Uzoh has done quite well in Spain, but is yet to convince Nigerians that is the man for the job. Ikechukwu Ezenwa, I think a lot of Nigerians will probably have trust in him. He plays at home, sometimes not too stable, was one of the key figures in our qualifications for the World Cup in Russia. And Francis Uzoh has been more regular than all other goalkeeping teammates in the team. So I think it's something that the Super Eagles of Nigeria, the technical crew, will have to work out and see how we can make them better, because as it is at the moment, these are the three best goalkeepers we can think of, and we need to get them better.
Looking at the 25-man list, professional squad, announced by the technical advisor Gernot Rohr, and specifically the return of team captain Mikel Obi. What are the chances of the Super Eagles in the 2019 AFCON?
Well, I think the chances of Super Eagles of Nigeria, they are quite bright. I think we are one of the top teams in Africa. And our recent history suggests that we usually do well when least is expected of the team. I'm sure not too many Nigerians are thinking that Super Eagles will win the tournament at the end of the competition. But I think we are good with the release of the players for the team and, of course, the return of team captain Mikel Obi into the team. I think we have good players, judging from the list we've had from the technical crew. Well, I think we can go as far as the semi-finals. Now that the format of the competition has been expanded, it means that the group stages will probably have the big teams against the less big teams, meaning the competition gets harder, you know, from the quarterfinals. So it's something that is achievable. We can definitely win the competition.
The format of the 2019 AFCON has 24 teams now, and a lot of teams are going to take part. It used to be 8-team format, 16-team format, now 24-teams format. How do you rate the chances of the so-called minnows against the big boys? Do you think that there will be surprises in the 2019 AFCON tournament?
I doubt it. I think when the push comes to the shove, I guess it's the traditional teams in Africa that will probably be in the quarterfinals, talking of Nigeria, Egypt, Senegal, Ghana. South Africa could be in with a chance. Then, of course, we have Morocco, we have Algeria, we have Tunisia. And I think some of these people will probably be in the last eight for the quarterfinals. I doubt whether the minnows will be able to gain so much ground, so to say. It's the first time we're having the 24-team format, and it might just be probably another two, three nations cup before we can begin to have the minnows, you know, take their chances and probably cause major upset in the history of a Nations Cup. I think so far, we've not had any major surprises in the history of the Nations Cup. I doubt whether the minnows will get any edge going into the Nations Cup.
That's Nigerian football analyst Lekan Ige, and he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Port Harcourt, Nigeria. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. They're playing basketball. We love that basketball. In National Basketball Association playoff action Thursday night, the Toronto Raptors scored a big road victory against the Milwaukee Bucks to take a 3-2 lead in the Eastern Conference Finals. The AP's Chuck Freeman reports from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
The Raptors looked like they were on the verge of getting blown out in the opening couple minutes, but they regrouped and stunned the Bucks 105-99. Led by Kawhi Leonard's 35 points, the Raptors dug themselves out of a 14-point first quarter hole. Leonard says he thrives in big games like this.
I've been here before. I've been to the finals, and it's pretty much nothing new that I'm seeing out there. Just got to have fun with it and enjoy it.
Fred Van Vliet scored 21 points off the bench on 7 3-pointers.
It would be a very, very long summer, you know, thinking about what could have been or what you could have done. And so we just got to go out there and have no regrets. And I think that we did a great job of that tonight, laying it all on the line, staying locked in, weathering those runs, and being able to bounce back. So like you said, one win away from the finals, it sounds pretty good to me. I'll take those chances.
It was a tie game late. The Raptors pulled away, getting a slew of offensive rebounds, and they made their free throws down the stretch. Giannis Antetokounmpo had 24 points to lead Milwaukee.
Keep your head up. Keep believing in yourself. Keep having that confidence. Pick up your teammates and tell them, like, we can do this. You know, we got two more games to go and we can do this. We've great habit. We've been playing great basketball all year. We've been a good team.
Game 6 on Saturday night in Toronto. Chuck Freeman, Milwaukee.
Thanks, Chuck. And I know the Raptors would like nothing better than to wrap up this series on Saturday night in Toronto. Waiting for the winner of Bucks-Raptors is the defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors. The 2019 NBA Finals will tip off on May 30th. And that wraps up the May 24th edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's The Sunny Side of Sports.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, an exclusive interview with the Prime Minister of Buganda, Charles Maiga. Buganda is the largest, most influential kingdom in Uganda. Buganda and the future on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa music fans. We have hours of the music that you love every day. Some things change, some remain the same. From the north to the south and the east to the west, we play only the best. Tune in at 0100, 0200, 1200 and 1300 UTC, GMT, right here on VOA Africa.
This is Science in a Minute.
An international team of astronomers have authored a new study that details their discovery of 83 quasars that date back to when the universe was 10% of its age. To spot the quasars that couldn't be seen earlier, the astronomers used a new and innovative instrument mounted on the Subaru telescope in Hawaii. One of the study's co-authors, Michael Strauss from Princeton University, commented how remarkable it is that such massive dense objects were able to form so quickly after the Big Bang. Quasars are generated when supermassive black holes devours materials so quickly that a buildup of friction and heat produces powerful beams of light. Supermassive black holes, which are found at the center of galaxies, are so big that their mass of each can equal millions or even billions of times more than our sun. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs, such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
Hi, I'm Susan Yawkey of VOA's International Edition. VOA's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of some of the world's greatest experts on international issues. But you don't have to tune in at broadcast time. Listen when you want. Just go to voanews.com. Click the Programs tab and scroll down to International Edition.
News happens around the clock, and VOA brings you the latest at the top of each hour. Tune in for a summary of the news at the top of each hour, around the clock, on the Voice of America. Hourly newscasts on the radio and on the internet at voanews.com. VOA, a leader in news coverage for over 70 years. VOA.
This is VOA News. I'm